Hello, and welcome to AUN Talks, the affiliate and partner marketing podcast. I'm your host, Rob Davidson, and I'm on my own today, so we'll keep this intro section relatively short and sweet. So on today's episode, we've got a great interview with one of AUN's most interesting brands, The Body Shop. For those of you unfamiliar with the brand, they're a skincare, cosmetics, and beauty retailer, which first launched in the UK all the way back in 1976. So their founder, Anita Roddick, was a pioneer in the sustainable and ethical retailer space. And from the very outset, its products were ones that were ethically sourced and cruelty-free, which was actually pretty unique at the time when many cosmetic suppliers were regularly testing products on animals before bringing them to market. Now, that ethical outlook has been central to the identity of The Body Shop ever since its beginnings, and it continues to actively promote more sustainable practices, and they actually earned their B Corp status in 2019 to reflect that. Now, I was lucky enough to have Natasha Phillips, The Body Shop's Global Head of Affiliate and Partnerships, join me earlier to talk about how they use affiliate marketing partnerships to achieve their business goals, and to learn a bit more about her views on the value of the industry to them. It's a fairly wide range in chat that takes in everything from how affiliate is perceived inside the company, why Natasha has incorporated influencer marketing activity within their affiliate program, as well as how she actually manages affiliate strategy across numerous international markets as well. I think it's a really valuable insight into how a high-profile global brand is currently using affiliate partnerships to drive real business success, and I hope you enjoy it. So let's dive straight into the conversation. Hi, Natasha. Thanks for dropping into the office today to join us on the podcast.
Hi.
Good to have you aboard.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
I just wanted to kick things off by asking you a little bit about your, before we get into talking about The Body Shop, talking specifically about your own career, both there and before, and how you came to be in your current position as the global head of affiliate and partnerships there.
Sure. So I started out in affiliates probably about 13 years ago, and I was network side. So I started at Linkshare Rakuten. So I was an account manager there for a couple of years, I think. And then I moved brand side. So I went to lastminute.com. Yeah. And so I worked my way up there, but then ended up being, I think, global head of affiliates and partnerships there as well. Very different industry travel. Yeah. Learned a lot about like technical implementations, APIs, things like that. Yeah. Very different to some of the other places I've been. Yeah. Then after that, I went to Carphone Warehouse, and I worked across all the channels there. So as the senior campaign manager, and that was kind of like two bits. One was representing the digital channels internally, and then also working with the suppliers that we had, so Samsung and Apple, and building out launch plans for them digitally. Yeah. And then did some traveling, worked on a contract with Virgin Trains, then went to Monsoon, where I was across all the channels again, and now I'm at The Body Shop.
So quite a varied mix there, both of like businesses and sectors and industries and roles, obviously, as well. And you've worked across various digital channels in your career so far, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask what you feel from an affiliate perspective, what is the USP for our channel, and how is it often perceived internally, both, you know, today at The Body Shop, but maybe in other businesses historically that you've had that experience, you know, when you're talking to other marketing colleagues or the C-suite, senior board members, etc. What do you feel is the general perception of the industry?
I think it really depends on the industry. So travel, for example, quite often the affiliate channel, because of the price comparison sites and things like that, drive a significant amount of revenue, more than PPC or, you know, SEO even in some cases. Telecoms, similar, again, because of the price comparisons. I think a retail, it's smaller part of the business for sure. But I think especially now, a lot of brands are really leaning into affiliates. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's a combination of things, you know, the market where it is, people beginning to understand it a bit more, having the freedom to be able to test lots of different things. I think also within affiliates and partnerships, a lot of things sort of fall under that. So, you know, you have brand to brand, you have influencer, you have your traditional affiliates, you have lots of, you know, different type of partnerships.
Yeah.
So I think in terms of how it's perceived by senior people within the business, I think it's definitely becoming a much bigger focus than it probably was maybe 5 or 10 years ago. I think luckily at the Body Shop, some of the senior stakeholders have a really good understanding of affiliate. And I think that really helps because then it isn't just seen as a discount channel or things like that. But yeah, no, I think especially this year, we will see it continue to grow in a big way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, obviously, I hope so.
But, so do I.
You mentioned actually that perception of it being just a discounting channel, which I think is something that is, you know, a justified legacy of where it was historically and where a lot of the kind of share of sales has been generated from over the years. That started to diversify, I think, a lot more in more recent years. And I wonder what are the biggest challenges that you feel that is holding maybe the channel back from taking a larger proportion or share of ad budgets and maybe even branding budgets, for instance, within businesses when it comes to that perception of what affiliate can do? Is it an education thing? Is it awareness? Is it a lack of, I don't know, advocation at kind of more senior levels?
So I think it's a combination of those. I think there's definitely people need to understand what the channel can do. I think a lot of the revenue does come through discount codes and cashbacks still. And so I think it's educating people on how to use that more tactically. So, you know, rather than blanket discounts and things like that, how do we use it to align with campaigns that are running or align with certain product lines that we want to promote and things like that? I think you can actually get really creative within the affiliate industry. But I think it's thinking about how to use those, the different levers that we have. And then I think as well is promoting that internally. Because I think one of the things that I find with the channel, right, is that it can do so many things. And so quite often when you're in senior leadership meetings, how do you take all these really complicated things that you're doing and tell a story about it without going into too much detail? And I think, what we've been doing a lot of is sort of pulling out like specific things that are actually maybe a bit more creative and like showcasing those. And I think that really helps, you know, build the affiliate channel further.
So tell me a bit about when you're thinking about your own affiliate strategy, what is it that you look for in an affiliate partner? Are there certain characteristics that are likely to make them a really good fit for the Body Shop? Because the Body Shop as well, like, it's a brand that has a really solid identity, I think, in the minds of consumers, because, you know, for decades it's kind of positioned itself in a very specific way, I think, around, you know, its ethics, being a sustainable retailer, really kind of standing out in that respect in the kind of cosmetics and skincare industry.
Absolutely. So as the type of retailer that we are, we really look at what types of partners we want to work with and how their ethics align with ours, because obviously, you know, as you say, very ethical, very sustainable, all of that kind of thing is really, really important to us. Alongside that, we are a B Corp as well. And so we want to make sure that, you know, partners that we're working with align with our B Corp status as well. But I think, so if we look at, you know, the types of partners that we work with, we're not just looking for them to align with our ethics, but also to, if they work well with our brand, they're going to be able to make more revenue for themselves as well. And so we want to make sure that we're working with brands that can support these sorts of things. So, for example, Blue Light Card is a really great example because, you know, supporting the NHS and, you know, supporting key workers, it really aligned well with our brand. And then, you know, that works well for the customers, but also internally when we're talking to the brand teams and things like that. Again, great story to be able to be telling them about how we're working alongside that. Yeah. So I think, you know, we very much look at what types of partners we're working with in terms of that. I think also as well, when we're looking at smaller partners, we want to make sure that those partners are genuinely interested in the brand. So if you're looking at blogs or influencers and things like that, we want to make sure that, you know, they really do love our products and are promoting them in that way. Not, you know, we're not just doing it just to drive revenue.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, like we've already discussed, the Body Shop's got this really long history with solid credentials as being this ethical retailer with sustainable values that are at its very core as a business. So you've already mentioned about the fact that you work, you know, a publisher or a partner like Blue Light Card align with that really well. Do those values actually extend into the kind of affiliate strategy in that sense? So the way that you run your marketing and that affiliate strategy and the type of partnerships that you've forged. I mean, like you said, it's quite a wide spectrum of different types of partners that are on your program. Mm-hmm. Is that always something that informs those partnerships, or is it simply, you know, it's a nice to have rather than a kind of mandatory thing?
I mean, I think, as you say, we do work with a huge range of partners. Yeah. And so we do try and make sure they do align with it. But, you know, we're not super, super strict about it, right? But I think as well, what we do try to do when we work with different types of partners is understand how we can try and get some of the messaging away as well, that not just, you know, products and things like that, but how do we get some of our brand messaging away with you know, the platforms that they have and things like that, to also try and tie that in. Because I think, you know, customers want to shop with us because of these brand values that we have, and they like our products because of that. And so we want to make sure that those messages are reaching the customer as well.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting to hear from advertisers that are thinking about their affiliate partnerships in that way, that they're not just a vehicle for, you know, a certain product that they're trying to sell, or, you know, trying to kind of discount some stuff, that some, you know, unsold inventory that they've got, that they know they need to get out the door fairly quickly, but are actually using them as a means of getting, conveying that message out to an audience, you know, something that is being informed by the brand team and the brand campaign. So there is that synergy between what's going on from a kind of upper funnel perspective all the way through the entire kind of customer life cycle, if you like.
Yeah. And I think, and you know, to that as well, when we are talking internally and we're, you know, talking to different stakeholders as well, that's really important. Yeah. And so I think, you know, as we mentioned before, that sometimes the channel can be a bit discounty. If you're pulling all of this together, you can actually make it so that it's not just about that. And you know, senior people buy into the channel more.
Yeah,
and exactly. Get more support.
Yeah. Talking specifically about like ethics or sustainability from a wider consumer perspective. So it's become an increasingly important factor, I think, for consumers. You know, you see that kind of that awareness has been really built, I think, through things like climate change, obviously, that are helping to inform consumers a bit more about the choices that they make when they're shopping. So have you seen an increased demand from shoppers due to your credentials in this space, or are factors like the cost of living crisis that we're experiencing here in the UK and that is, you know, a factor throughout the world in a lot of economies right now, is that impacting how sustainable shoppers can afford to be right now? And is that then maybe impairing your ability to kind of get new customer acquisition and sell things to those shoppers?
I mean, it's a tough market for everyone out there, definitely. I think, you know, we're very much leaning into these credentials. You know, change-making beauty for us is, you know, a really important factor. I think whilst it is, you know, the cost of living is a crisis out there, I think we're very much leaning into our ethics, and it is a long-term strategy as well for us. So, you know, we understand that people are going to have a tougher time, but I don't think we're not trying to shift away from that.
Yeah. It's really, I mean, I can speak from my personal experience of, you know, probably about 18 months to 2 years ago, making much more of an effort to kind of trying to shop a bit more sustainably, making more curated choices around the retailers that I buy from, for instance. And I would say in the last kind of like 6 to 8 months, like, just having to pare some of those purchases back because there is a premium on that stuff for good reason. But, you know, when you're trying to balance kind of costs at home around, you know, the toilet paper you buy, and if that's, you know, a kind of more premium sustainable brand that is going to cost you 20-30% more than it would to just buy it from Tesco's or, you know, Asda or wherever, then oftentimes, like in this particular circumstance, it's difficult to kind of justify, I think, that's a lot of the time, even though you're well aware of the arguments. And I'm sure that that's something that a lot of shoppers who are kind of a similar mindset probably facing right now.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, you know, as I was saying, I think a lot of brands are leaning more into the affiliate channel generally, because hopefully, you know, some of the discounting that does come through the channel can help alleviate some of the, some of that extra cost.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Now, the Body Shop's really synonymous with a lot of high profile campaigns over the years that have reflected its ethics and its position on various kind of social issues. For instance, just last year, you ran some campaigns around self-love to challenge, I guess, the conventions around certain beauty standards that have been held up in the media for, you know, so long. And you're currently in the process of shifting away from anti-aging term, that terminology in some of your products, which is obviously pretty prevalent, I think, within the kind of skincare and beauty industry. We were talking about how brand messaging can cascade down into affiliate partnerships. Is that something that affiliate partners are helping to kind of support with those campaigns at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, overall, we tell all of our partners about the campaigns that we have. Understand that, you know, we may not be able to get all those brand messages away. But what we do do is work with them on where we can get them away. So, you know, on merchant pages, for example, we can quite often put messages there. Can we do blog posts? Can we do things like that that call out some of these things? We also... we work really closely with content and influencers as well to make sure that they understand the messages that we have and work with them on how do we get that message out across alongside, you know, messaging around specific products or driving revenue type activity, right? Because I think especially within those partnerships, customers are interested in the brand messages as well as, you know, the products themselves. Yeah. So, yeah, we do a lot of work around that. And then I think, you know, wherever possible, we just try and balance the messages that we have and you know, really push out, you know, where we think it might work well with the audience group.
I mean, I guess it's kind of like a marketing 101, isn't it, really, around like, you know, consistency of messaging where possible so that every interaction that a customer has with your brand is the same and is uniform, and therefore there's no jarring or juxtaposition of stuff that they're not expecting, and as it feels more seamless that way. I guess the dilemma that a lot of advertisers face when it comes to affiliates is that they don't own the properties on which those messages are going out, and they don't even own necessarily the format of that messaging, because there's a tension there in that relationship, right, between what a brand is able to control and what an affiliate knows is maybe a best fit for their audience, who they have the relationship with. And so there has to be a degree of trust there, right, between you and your affiliate partner.
Yeah, I think, I mean, definitely trust. And, you know, working together with them to help them understand what our messaging is about, and then they can translate it into their own language. And I think as well, you know, pulling out, you know, like one of the big things with the partners that we have is around how we work with them and how, you know, we try and give them as much data and as much information as we can to help them, you know, set up or, you know, write the content that they need to, but also so that they can understand what products are selling and things like that. And I think the same way, the other way around, what are their audiences interested in? And I think having that ability to have the open communication around, you know, the data that we both have is really, really valuable and can really help, you know, make it an even better partnership.
Yeah, definitely. Now, you're obviously the global head of affiliate and partnerships, and that incorporates a lot of different international markets. Mm-hmm. And you run affiliate programs through Aaron currently across a lot of those markets themselves. So do you find, and I'm always interested to hear from people that have got that kind of overview across kind of global markets in that sense, like, do you find that the affiliate strategy itself is fairly standardized across those markets, or do you have to adapt it to the nuances of regional kind of like trends or things that you kind of learn are resonating with that audience?
Whilst we have like an overarching strategy, I think each market is surprisingly different. And so, you know, when you look at the US, for example, the US is a very mature market generally. Its affiliate has been running there for a lot longer. Mm-hmm. Customers are very used to using the affiliate channel. And so very, very different to somewhere like Australia, where it's probably sort of the other end of the spectrum, where people don't use affiliate as much. And so I think you do need to absolutely tailor the affiliate strategy for each of the different regions. I think as well, the other thing that really plays into it is brand awareness within that country. And so the bigger brand awareness, the more successful your affiliate program will be, or not necessarily successful, but the less brand work you necessarily have to do within the affiliate channel.
Yeah, you've already got that equity with the audience where they know who you are, what you stand for, what your products are about. And then affiliates have got more space, I guess, to play with in that sense, because they know that they can push this out and there's a audience that's receptive to it already.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
that's really interesting in that sense. Can you talk a little bit about your approach to influencer marketing, because that was something that you referenced earlier as being part and parcel of the program that you've got, mm-hmm. part of the strategy. How do you go about, how have you gone about setting that up, and how does that intersect with your affiliate activity currently?
Yeah, so I think influencer has been a big one for us over the past year and a half. And so we have set up an influencer affiliate program within our program, where we work with a large number of influencers on an affiliate basis. I think as a brand, we generally work with influencers across lots of different parts of the business. So I think this kind of made sense as an extension for us. And I mean, it's been going really well. We are looking to continue to grow that out. I think one of the big things for us was how we communicate with those partners more effectively. So we wanted to make sure that the comms that they were getting was really rich and they had access to imagery and things like that that they could use. You know, we've worked with them on getting them to understand which specific products would work for them, as well as you know, which ones sell well, and you know what the new products are, working on, you know, gifted campaigns and things like that. So I think we've done a lot of work with that over the past year, and it's been really successful.
Yeah, you mentioned as well that obviously there are influencers being used by different parts of the business. Mm-hmm. How do you kind of demarcate those boundaries, as it were, between where an influencer is maybe kind of doing affiliate stuff versus maybe they're doing kind of work with your PR teams, for instance? Do you guys share influencers almost, if you see what I mean?
And yeah.
Kind of learnings, I guess, that you've had from working with them in different types of activity?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, we try and work with our influencers across all the different sort of areas. Yeah. And I think, you know, the affiliate influencer activity, as an influencer, you can be promoting the Body Shop all year round. Yeah. Whereas with, you know, PR, they'll be doing more branded campaigns, and you know, they're usually shorter time period, and they'll be looking at different sorts of messaging. So much more upper funnel, supporting the campaigns that we have, things like that. So I think, you know, it's, whilst it seems like they're quite different, I think the idea is that we look to work with these influencers all year round, and so they have a space to sort of come and join the affiliate program and promote the brand as they want on their terms, you know, as things happen.
Yeah. You mentioned as well about the communication differences, like, you know, providing them with rich content. Mm-hmm. I guess there's a lot of visual imagery, and that's really important in terms of providing them with the kind of content that they need to go out and do their job in terms of speaking to their audience. Do you find there's quite a distinct approach in terms of your communication with influencers versus your maybe more traditional or conventional affiliate segment?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the amount of information that we give influencers is much more, because I think they're a lot more interested in maybe some of the brand campaigns and messages and things like that. Whereas I think some of the more traditional affiliates, you know, they are looking at how can we sell products. And so that it's a slightly different focus, I think.
The Body Shop's obviously got a really strong offline presence as well. There are shops kind of everywhere, particularly listeners in the UK will be familiar with the fact of, you know, coming across a Body Shop store on their local high street, for instance. But I didn't realize just how big the international footprint was, with shops kind of everywhere, it seems, across the globe. Do you measure your marketing efforts across both those physical and digital locations together? Like, we've seen in-store activity in the affiliate channel really take off, I think, in the last couple of years. And I wondered, is that something that the Body Shop's currently doing at all?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have been doing affiliate activity in store for quite a while. Yeah. I think, you know, when we look at our retail presence, it's huge, especially in the UK, but, you know, across all different countries as well. And I think, you know, customers really want to go in and like touch and feel and smell the products. Yeah, yeah. We work with the offline team to promote what we can through our affiliates and drive people to store as well as online.
Yeah, yeah, nice. No, it's definitely a trend that I can see more retailers with physical shops trying to incorporate into their program. And because I think the sophistication of the tracking technology and kind of attribution tactics that are being used by some affiliates, particularly around, you know, cashback partners, for instance, or loyalty partners that are able to kind of track that measurement kind of within stores as well when they've interacted with an affiliate placement or ad, I think is really useful to see. And particularly with so many retailers that do have that physical presence, being able to measure the impact of that upon in-store inbound kind of footfall, I think is really, really quite powerful.
And I think, you know, we need to think about customer journeys. Yeah. Whilst, you know, a lot of businesses historically and maybe still now think about online and offline kind of separately. Actually, customers don't think like that.
No, no. I think the term, what was the term? It's like phidgetal, which is like one of these kind of, you know, a horrible contraction of like physical and digital. But yeah, thankfully, I don't think that's taken off as a kind of widely used term. It's all gone phidgetal. Yeah. Just finally then, looking to the future, what new trends and developments are you most excited about in the affiliate industry? If you are excited about new trends and developments in the industry.
Of course. I mean, so influencer, I think, will continue to grow. And I think, you know, as influencers better understand the affiliate model, that one, I think there's a lot of exciting things that can happen there. I think another one that we're really looking at is brand-to-brand partnerships. Yeah. And there've been quite a few new partners that have sprung up recently that are able to support that in a sort of affiliate manner. And I think that's really exciting. And I think just generally overall, like trying to bring channels closer together. So I think, as I said earlier, but like affiliate, it's all the partners use all the different channels, right? They use PPC, they use SEO, they use social. And so how do we internally as well look at all the channels that we have and bring all of it sort of more closer together? And then online and offline, and how we sort of look at the customer journey there as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's plenty to kind of keep you occupied, I think, over the coming months and
definitely
years. So, yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming in today and sharing some insights from The Body Shop, and wish you all the best of luck for the future.
Great. Thanks.
Thanks so much to Natasha for coming into the office to record that interview with me. It was really great to hear more from her about The Body Shop's approach to affiliate marketing. Now, the full video of that interview will also be up on Awin's YouTube channel very soon. And if you're an affiliate keen to work with The Body Shop, you can find their account within the Awin interface to apply to connect with them. Now, before we finish, I wanted to just flag a few newsworthy items from Awin Towers that may be of interest to you. First up, Awin has a new CTO, or I should say CPTO. Giselle Mast joins the Awin board as our new Chief Product and Technology Officer to fill the gap left by Pete Loveday, who left Awin in December after 18 years with us. Giselle comes with an array of really impressive experiences in senior products and tech roles at high-profile companies like TripAdvisor, eBay, Booking.com, and most recently Kiwi.com. So we're really looking forward to seeing her drive Awin's vision for better product and tech solutions forward. And I'm sure we'll get a chance to interview her on the podcast in the coming months so you can meet her for yourselves. Now, in other news, those of you that follow Awin on our social channels may well have seen that we recently announced that our four-day week, or flexi week policy as we term it, has been made a permanent one for all staff. Now, after conducting in-depth research on the impact that it's had both on staff welfare as well as the business's core KPIs, the results really illustrated the positive benefits that we've seen across the board. So not only have staff unanimously felt improvements in their mental and physical health, but Awin has continued to grow its profits, our NPS score has improved, and we've continued to pick up industry awards for the quality of our work as well. It's been great to see this really progressive approach to work pay off in such a huge way. It was always a bit of a gamble to test it out, but the evidence demonstrates that companies can continue to grow and be successful while still giving staff the time and space to recharge and pursue their own passions and priorities outside of work. And finally, just a quick reminder to you that AWIN has a full calendar year of events planned out now where you can come meet us in person, network with peers, and learn more about the state of the industry today. Our Think Tank conference series is scheduled to take place across the globe with events in many of our major locations. So on the 20th of April, we're in Paris. On the 25th of May, we're in London. And we've actually just announced our keynote speaker, who will be the tech writer and analyst Benedict Evans, which I'm personally really excited to see as a longtime admirer and reader of his work. On the 27th to the 28th of June, so a two-day event, we've got our think tank in Berlin. The 27th of June is also our think tank US, which is being held in Chicago. On the 13th of September, you can join us in Brazil, where we've got think tank in Sao Paulo. And then we have another one in the Netherlands in Amsterdam, also in September, with that date due to be confirmed very soon. So if you're interested in finding out more about attending any of these, I'll include links to them in the blog post for this episode. Okay, if you stayed with us all the way to the end of the episode today, then I just have one more little favor to ask, and that is that you give us a 5-star rating and review on whichever platform you're using to listen to us on currently. It will really help us continue growing the podcast and hopefully get even more great guests on. So in the meantime, thanks so much for listening, and I'll be back next month with another episode. Goodbye.